welcome to episode 223 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to defrost a frozen turkey. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about Thanksgiving. First, we discuss quite a few games we've played recently. My First Adventure, The Odyssey of Phobos, Unlock Kids, Detective Stories, Holiday Hijinks, The Kringle Caper, and The Birthday Burglary, Endangered Rescue Number 1, Galapagos Penguins, Wilmot's Warehouse, and The Search for UAPs. Then, we talk about what we're thankful for in the board gaming hobby. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
I have a lot of games I'm going to talk about in a recently played section because I've played a lot recently.
Then let's hear about them.
Mainly solo and with my kids. First, I wanted to do a quick mention of My First Adventure, The Odyssey of Phobos, which is a choose your own adventure book type game. I've talked about the My First Adventure series before. My kids really like it. It's like a storybook with different parts that you can choose, and you like flip the page to see what you choose. You get different items. You get like a good ending or a not as good ending. And so my kids love reading through it and playing it. It's kind of like a bedtime story, but also they get to interact with it. I've talked about My First Adventure, Finding the Dragon, and I had a couple others that I got. But The Odyssey of the Phobos, I just got a review copy from Fable Fox Press, which is actually bringing some of them over to the US. I think Dragon was available. Finding the Dragon is available in the US, but the other ones that I got, I imported from the UK. And so those ones, Discovering Atlantis and The Journey to Ochreland, those two are also available from Fable Fox Press now in the US. So if you're in the US like me and you didn't import them from the UK, you can get them now.
Yes, if you're not quite as dedicated as Zambie, also now can own them.
But The Odyssey of Phobos, I did not find, that was not available from Zatu Games is where I got them before. So like this one, it's a little bit different than the other ones. I did a playthrough, read through of it on our YouTube channel. But yeah, like it's a little different. It has like more pages at the end kind of that you read through. And it's like not all in order of like, the other ones, like you get the item, three items in order, and then you use those items in order. But here it's like a little different. Also, one of the characters is named Toby. So my kids really like that because that's my husband's name. So like the whole series is good, but I'm just letting you know, if you're in the US and you have kids and you've been like wondering how to get more, now you can from Fable Fox Press. But yeah, thanks to them for the review copy. Another game I played with my kids is Unlock Kids Detective Stories, I think. This is the first in the series of Unlock Kids, which there are a lot of different Unlock Kids box sets. So Unlock is an escape room series that we've talked about a lot, but there's an Unlock Kids, which is for kids. Each box comes with three different locations, and each location comes with like a deck of cards, but all has two scenarios of exit game or of escape game in the deck of cards. So that's kind of cool. It's basically a kid's version of Unlock. It does not need an app. You have colorful cards and no reading really. So there is reading at the beginning. You first get like a secret or special item, and it shows you what you're doing, and so the parent can help read with that. But then all the cards are just like images, and then they have half of an icon, and you match it with another icon in order to figure out what you're doing. So you have like a key and a lock, like they'll each have a half of an icon, and you put it together and it shows you a whole icon, and you have the symbol table that shows you like the symbols and then what card you have to get. So it doesn't have like the addition of Unlock, but it's like matching symbols. So my kids were able to do that pretty well. Unlock says it's for ages 6+, but my kids are 5. With my one kid who likes board games, he played all of them in like the span of 3 days. There's 6 scenarios. So he played like 3 or 4 of them in the first day, and then played one more the next bedtime, and then one more the next bedtime. So yeah, he really likes it. And we're going to open the other ones too, because my friend lent me 4 boxes of these. So we're going to a lot of Unlock. Yeah, it's really good. I like the changes for the kids version. In Unlock, there's hidden numbers that you can look for. So this one also has hidden numbers that you're looking for, but it's optional and just like gets you extra points at the end, but it's not like part of the story. So I really like that because you don't have to look for hidden numbers. It's part of the story. And I've been helping my kids with some of the stuff. Like I help them find some hidden numbers, and I help them like talk through like, oh, what do you need to do here? What are you looking for? It also has a hint book, which I think new Unlocks all have, like a hint solution book. So you can look at the hints for what card you're on, and then also like the solution to walk through if you get stuck. So that's nice. Like I've used that a couple times with my kids. But yeah, they like Unlock Kids. It has some cool themes too. One of them had pirates. So yeah, that was Unlock Kids Detective Stories, which was published in 2021 by Space Cowboys. Or no, Space Cow is the kids version, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that they had a separate imprint for the kids stuff. That's adorable. And also, I want games by Space Cow. Why do only the kids get Space Cow?
Well, you could play kids games too.
Well, yeah, but you know.
I mean, I've been enjoying playing the Unlock Kids. All right, through my kids.
If I lived near you, I would say lend me one, but you know.
All right, and then some games that I played not with my kids, but by myself. A couple of episodes ago, we had an interview with the designer of Holiday Hijinks, Jonathan Schaffer, and I played a couple more of those games. These are 18-card escape room games published by Grand Gamers Guild. We got as review copies. So I played the Kringle Caper. I actually played this one on stream, and I played the Birthday Burglary. So that's just more 18 card escape rooms. We talked about them.
I think
before.
The Kringle Caper is the first one of those I ever played.
Yeah, it's the first one that came out.
Okay.
One of the puzzles on it, actually, like, I didn't like as much because it needed some information that wasn't in like the info stuff. So I had to like Google it because I didn't quite know it. But it is like something that's kind of well known. It's just I didn't know the exact specifics.
I think
so, like, I knew what to Google and stuff.
I think I remember what it was, maybe, but I also don't want to spoil it. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a little bit of outside knowledge in that early one, right?
Yeah. Okay. It was early. Yeah. And then the Birthday Burglary had some cool thing where, like, you use items in the cards, and I liked that.
I haven't played that one yet. They did send that to me, but I have not mm-hmm. played that one. My birthday is in, like, 3 weeks, so maybe I should play
yeah,
it
you
on
should play
my birthday.
Yeah. So, that one was fun. And then we both got a review copy of Endangered Rescue Galapagos Penguins,
which I have played and then I passed off to my friend Kathy, so I don't physically have mine to show on video.
That's okay. This is another escape 18 card escape room from Grand Gamers Guild, but this one is designed by Ace and Anna Ellett.
But Jonathan said he was a developer on this new series.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it, but they made the Curious Elevator of Mr. Hinks series and like the Hinks Gazette, which we've talked about before. But this feels so different from that. So, like, I didn't even
recognize
it. It
does. As always, we're not really going to spoil anything, mm-hmm. but it is mechanically similar to the Holiday Hijinks series mm-hmm. in that you do use a web app to input answers to move forward in the escape room. And it'll tell you which cards to flip over and mm-hmm. what to do next. It also has a table of information that you can reference. This is not a spoiler, but the cards themselves have better indicators in this game of when you will need to use that information in the app.
Yeah, it's in the rule book. Like, it has a little symbol, a little information symbol, which I didn't read the rules at the beginning.
I didn't either.
But I saw that. I'm like, what is that?
I know. I intuitively knew as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh. I bet I need to go to the, and it was it was very intuitive, I thought, and I really appreciated that, because there have been times in past Holiday Hijinks games where I did not realize I needed mm-hmm. that reference, and in this one, every time I needed a reference, I knew I needed it, and I went straight there.
But this one had a lot more like outside knowledge references, because it was, I think it was more thematic. It was more like focused on the theme of learning about Galapagos penguins and the endangered species, I guess. So it had like a lot of information on penguins, and you learn about penguins. And so like you look through all that info, and yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. How it was more themed around learning about the penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt easier to me than the Holiday Hijinks ones.
I would say overall, I agree. Because it's rated a 2 out of 3 on their difficulty scale. Yeah. But I would say comparatively, it's probably closer to a 1 out of 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess if they're maybe their scale might be different for this new series, potentially.
Yeah, because it is a different series.
There was one particular puzzle in the middle that mm-hmm. tripped me up, and I needed help setting up, basically. But once mm-hmm. I knew what I was doing, it was fine, but I just could not figure out how to set it up to do. I knew what I needed to do, but I just could not, like, my brain was not figuring out exactly what I needed to do. All of the rest of it, yeah, I played this one by myself, and the puzzles were all easy to solve for me.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
But still enjoyable. Like, mm-hmm. and the story in this one was cute. I liked the mm-hmm. the story of it. But
yeah,
yeah.
Like the theming and the story. And it seems like
learning penguin facts is great.
Yeah, but so it seems like compared to Holiday Hijinks, this is more focused on like learning these facts too. So like that's probably why the puzzles are more easy, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. So. I think so. I completed the scenario. It's intended to be an hour, and I got it done in 37 minutes, and I got 4.5 stars because I used some hints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used one hint. I'm looking at my notes. I played it a while ago, so it says 32 minutes, and I used a hint.
Okay.
So
Yeah, that one puzzle in the middle is the one I was like, I don't understand. I guess I could say one word. It was the frequency related puzzle. Once you knew how to set it up, it was fine. I just couldn't figure out how to set it up properly. They gave you instructions on how to set it up, and I was reading too far into what they were telling you to do, basically. I was making it more complicated, I think, than it actually needed to be. Mm-hmm.
Mine was the cable puzzle.
Ah, okay.
Because I didn't realize part of the instructions. It was just like an instructions thing for me.
I don't need any instructions.
No, like I don't think it said, like, I didn't understand that you're supposed to, like, do something because it wasn't super clear. But yeah, that was Endangered Rescue number one.
Galapagos I'm excited penguins. To see what else they come out with in this line.
Yeah, I also am.
In addition to getting to play the Endangered Rescue game, I also got a chance to play Wilmot's Warehouse, which Ambi talked about in a recent episode. Mm-hmm. And just as I expected, Ambi, I had just as much fun playing it as you did. The stories we were coming up with to remember the tiles were ridiculous. Like, at one point, we had Poseidon's trident, and then the trident led to both Poseidon's teeth and his bedroom, where there was a grand piano and then a guitar. Oh, and his tongue was beyond his teeth. So we're talking about Poseidon's whole mouth. And we... My partner is nearby me indicating, like, he's playing charades to remind me of all the stuff that was in the game. We had a whole breakfast food section. We had bacon and eggs and Cheerios and pancakes. And it was absolutely ridiculous. Uh-huh. And in a minute and 45 seconds, we got all of it right. So,
wow, nice.
Yeah, like, there were five of us, so we had a lot of brains to remember things, but we didn't think we were going to do well, and we somehow remembered everything. It was a blast. It feels a little bit more like an activity than a game, kind of, but I don't care. It was fun.
It's fun. Yeah, that's what I still have only played the once, and I still remember, like, a lot of the story.
Which is wild, right?
Like, yeah, but, like, if we play again, well, that seems like it might confuse... Like,
that's what's interesting, right? Because, if you see those same cards again, are you going to want to always prescribe the same thing to the same card? Because I think you can't, because some of those rules that come out in the midst of the rounds force you to sometimes place things differently. And so I feel like you might have to mix it up at some
point. But then you might get confused, like, wait, was it here? And, like, no, that was that other game.
So playing it multiple times will definitely potentially get confusing and also fun, probably. Mm-hmm. In addition to trying Wilmot's Warehouse, I got to try a new game that I believe just came out recently called The Search for UAPs. This is the third game in the Search for series, which includes The Search for Planet X, The Search for Lost Species, and now The Search for UAPs. And I have played all three games in the series now. So these are published by Bezier Games. This one's designed by Ted Alsbach. Oh, and also published by Renegade Game Studios. It's co-published, I guess. This is a deduction game where you are trying to locate the unidentified anomalous phenomena in space. You've got to hit a shield with all your information behind it. You are utilizing an app where you put in a code so all the players get the same setup, basically. And then you get specific information that the other players don't. And then on player turns, you can do certain actions to try and gain more information about what exists in space. Each sector or each little area can only contain one of the possible items. And so you do scans and also other types of actions to try and suss out where things are. And there are a bunch of rules related to the proximity of things to other things. So, like, maybe a certain item cannot ever be next to this other item. So if you find that other item, you know what can't be next to it, and you eventually narrow things down until you hopefully find the UAP. This is basically, it kind of feels like The Search for Planet X on steroids. Like, it's a more complicated version of The Search for Planet X in my estimation, and that's not a bad thing. I really like The Search for Planet X as well. This kind of feels like taking it a little bit to the next level, and I specifically was really excited to see how it was going to end, but unfortunately we encountered a bug in the app.
Oh no.
Yeah, so there were four of us playing. The app has some UI and UX issues, which is too technical to get into on the podcast, but they need back buttons. There are a whole bunch of functionality things that need to be added to this app because if you misclick on something, there's no way to go back almost ever. You can't fix mistakes, and that is a problem.
Is that in the Search for Planet X?
I can't remember for sure, but I don't remember us having issues like that in Search for Planet X. But the thing that happened in this one specifically is there are two boards that are magnetic that one rotates once all the players get past a certain point on the board. And once you're past that point, you don't move again until the board rotates. And it'll gray out all the actions on your phone until you rotate the thing on your phone, because you rotate the board on your phone as well to show where things are. And one of the players had not moved past the line yet, and his phone was saying he needed to rotate the board. And there was no way for us to fix it. Like, we tried everything, and there was no way for us to fix it. And we went, like, we counted back. We were like, did we put him in the wrong place? We went back through the history of all of his turns. We think we did it right. Obviously, there's a chance that we didn't, but we all were trying to figure it out, and I think it was just a bug.
That's so, like the nightmare of apps in games.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I'm not going to let that really, like, shade my experience too much because it is a relatively new game and apps have bugs. But yeah, basically we could not finish the game as a result. Because we didn't want to, like, just keep playing without him because he was, you know, part of the game and it just would have been weird. But of what I did get to play of it, I really enjoyed it. If you like deduction games, this series is just a winner all the way across the board. So yeah, Search for UAPs. I liked it. I do want to play it again and hopefully get to the end. Since this episode is coming out on Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, happy Thanksgiving to all of you who celebrate.
Yay, happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you, Ambie.
Oh, thanks. You too. We're recording this before Thanksgiving, but...
We are. But you know what? Chances are you and I might not talk on Thanksgiving. Yeah, <that's true>. So we'll probably be busy doing other things. Yeah. So we wanted to just take a brief amount of time to discuss what we're thankful for. Because, you know, that's what you do this time of year.
Yeah. And we're trying to think of things we're thankful for, like specifically kind of at least somewhat related to board gaming. But yeah, I mean, like in general, board gaming is something that I'm thankful for. Just like the whole board gaming, because I like playing games, and games are a great way to hang out with friends and family. Like all my life, like gaming has been my crutch for interaction with people.
And that's really special, right? In the way it made it easier for you to interact with others, it also kind of worked in the opposite way for me. Is it gave me a way to reach out to other introverted people that I wanted to spend time with because, you know, it gave us that. I always liked calling it social lubricant. Some people don't like that term, but like it is. It makes social interactions easier when you have an activity. But, you know, there's a lot of activities you can do with people where you don't really get to talk outside of the activity. Like if you go play pickleball with somebody, you're not going to be having an in-depth conversation about what happened at work last week on the pickleball court, because you're going to be breathing and running around and whatever else. Whereas board games often can allow for other types of discussions and meaningful interactions that are outside the context of the game, but those interactions are not required to enjoy the game.
And even sometimes within context of games, like in party games and stuff, you can end up talking about random stuff anyway. Like with wavelength, you talk about how one person has done this one time and like, oh, maybe they're thinking like that because remember that one time you did that. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's fun.
Kind of to that point, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that board games create stories, that they make memories, that they more often than not end up being meaningful experiences. I tend to have a lot of memories related to board gaming experiences specifically, and they've become a really important part of my life. And
yeah, me too.
If board games poofed out of existence, I would be heartbroken. And I love video games. I love other forms of gaming. I love other activities. I love watching TV and movies and whatever else. But board games are something very special and unique. And that physical tactility of moving pieces around on a board, being in a physical space with other people, It's different. I would never want to give that up.
Yeah, a lot of my memories of like a lot of my friends now, and a lot of memories of hanging out with people and stuff, it's all board games. And like my Facebook memories has old pictures. It's either, I mean, it's either my kids now or board games.
So, it's, like, for me, it's my dogs or board games. Yeah.
And so like I like look back, I like looking back at pictures of my kids because they're cute. But then, and then I see like the board game, like, oh, remember when, this is when we played this. Oh, and remember we went to this convention. Oh, and yeah. Speaking of like remembering board game plays, like BG Stats, I'm thankful for Board Game Stats, the app, because I log all my plays, and that actually helps me like see when I hung out with people or like what we, where we went and stuff, because I have like the location logged, who I played with. And so it's funny when we see a friend or like, I can tell you if we played this game with you, they kind of have a joke. They're like, oh yeah, Ambie knows all this. Like, I don't know if I've played it, but Ambie will know. But yeah, kind of like, oh yeah, like when's the last time we saw you? And like, I look at the BG stats and like, oh, we played a game here. So maybe, was that the last time we saw you? I'm like, yeah.
It's not a bad way to go.
It works for a lot of people that we hang out with.
That's
not
awesome.
All of them, but.
Another thing I'm thankful for about board games is that I believe board games have made me a better person. I think they can do that for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. Board games don't just teach you how to play a game. They teach you how to interact with people and how to emotionally regulate yourself sometimes, even about being a gracious winner, being a gracious loser, taking turns, which obviously is a little more geared towards children, but,
my turn.
Patience, you know, if somebody's taking a long time on their turn, kindness toward somebody who isn't having a great time and needs that little extra, you know, like you got to be a little bit nicer to them because they're not having a good time. Like, I think the qualities in myself that I like, a lot of them have been either amplified or solidified or strengthened because of the number of board games that I play. And I've tried to pass on some of that information to the people I've played with, especially young ones like my nephews. My 5-year-old nephew, the last time I got to visit him in person, he's kind of going through one of those phases where losing feels really bad. And so the whole time I was there, I think I've mentioned this before, yeah. But I was drilling into his head. I every time we did anything, I said, why do we play games? Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, I don't know, Auntie Crystal, I don't know. And I said, come on, Leo. I said, why do we play games? And he said, to have fun. And I said, yep, that's the reason. That's why we play games. And that is the reason. We don't play games to win. We play games to have fun. And if I can help impart that knowledge to another human being, I will have done something good with my life.
Yeah, I've been working on that with my kids too. On kids' notes, I am thankful that like there's so many great kids' games coming out. Like, so many.
I recently was reading a study about the growth of board games in the United States specifically, but even worldwide, and how revenue is in the billions for board gaming. I was looking at the chart. I don't remember the exact numbers, but basically leading up to the pandemic, the chart was just trending upward. Mm-hmm. And then it actually peaked pretty high as a result of the pandemic. It's still going up after that, essentially. Like, the pandemic kind of really boosted things, and I think there might have been a little dip at some point, but then it's trending upward still, and projections have it going higher and higher and higher in the coming years. Wow. It really doesn't, you know, because people have talked for a long time about, like, is the board game bust gonna come? Like, all these publishers making all these games, and will there ever be too many games? And it seems like, so far, no. But it's just one of those things where there are tons of us that have hundreds of games in our collections and we keep buying. So there's an audience, I guess.
Well, and I think a lot of games also go out of print, at least with children's games. Like, a lot of the games, they go out of print and then there's new ones that come out. Like, a lot of the games that I had that my kids played at 2 aren't really available anymore. So it's hard to make recommendations for children's games sometimes.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, there's obviously the evergreens, like the classic stuff that we all kind of grew up with. But for more modern things, I would imagine that, yeah, it is harder probably to keep that many kids' games in print if they aren't like really popular.
Yeah.
One last thing that I'm thankful for related to board gaming is you, Ambie. I don't think I mean, we've done an episode about like how we make the podcast, and we've talked about our process and all of that. But I'm neurodivergent in a number of different ways, and my brain does not always serve me well. And for anybody out there listening, Ambi is just the best friend you could ever hope to have, and collaborator, and all of the things. And I appreciate you very much. And I always, like, you do more of the work to make this podcast than I do. And you've been keeping us running now for, we're coming up on 9 years. Well, it'll be our 10th year starting in May.
Yeah, wow.
Which is wild to me. How? Like, when we started this adventure, you, me, and Cassidy, no idea that we'd be doing it 9 years later still. I'm very appreciative of you and the work you do and the support that you give me, and I'm very grateful.
Oh, thanks. But that reminds me, I'm also thankful for you and the podcast, because like I think it's helped me like in just in life. Being able to talk to you has helped me like get better at talking.
I mean, you have come out of your shell, I think, in a lot of ways since we first started the podcast. Like, I've seen you, I mean, our conversations, obviously, as we got to know each other, became easier. But I've seen you interact with other people in public spaces more easily than you used to as well.
Yeah. So, I think like that's the podcast, and also like getting more deeper into board games. So if we're talking about board games, I'm good. Still, yep. If I'm talking about something else, maybe not so good. But
We're all going to have those moments anyway. But like when we first started the podcast, we did get some feedback from people who would say like, Crystal needs to shut up so Abby and Cassidy can talk. And I wanted to be like, I promise you, I'm only talking when no one else is. And that just happens to be a lot of the time, because you and Cassidy were both more introverted.
We were both just like,
and I cannot let silence exist. If there is silence, I must fill it. So I just happened to be filling more silence back then, and now I don't have to, which is lovely.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. Coming soon to Kickstarter, the complete collection of everything ever made for Champions of Midgard in the new Champions 10th Anniversary Collector's Edition, including deluxe components, all new art, and a complete set of rebalanced promos. It will be the definitive version of one of Gray Fox's most beloved games, designed with collectors and superfans in mind. For more information, head to grayfoxgames.com. And if you want to buy games while you're on the site, you can get 20% off non-exclusive items by using the code BGBLITZ24 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, it's like rain on your board game day. It's a free point when you've already played. It's the good advice that you just can't take. And who moved my minifigures? Bye, everyone.
Bye. I was looking at an article recently about... Oh, and our doorbell just rang, so that's gonna be noisy for the foreseeable future.